Already. Well, Brother Hardy and I was talking the night before church about being old. I told him he could probably remember when the rainbow was black and white. Brother Bob can probably relate to that too. But I heard the other day you can tell when you're getting old when you and your teeth don't sleep together anymore. All right, Luke chapter number 22 tonight. It helps me relax a little bit to tell a funny, so anyway, I'm so glad to be here. Many of my dear friends in the building, and I'm glad that I've got to come this way once again. Didn't think I was going to get to be here this year, but many of our meetings have canceled. I'm amazed at how easily people have given up their right to go to church. If you can go to the ABC store and the abortion clinic, I believe you ought to be able to go to the house of God. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 22, and I just want to preach what the Lord, I believe, laid on my heart. I want to begin reading in verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I want to preach from this passage of Scripture tonight on this subject on what Satan desires. What Satan desires. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I appreciate the good worship that we've had already through song. Now, Lord, you know I stand in great need tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me that unction that it takes to make preaching. God, I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. Help me to say everything, Lord, that would be pleasing in your sight. Nothing, Lord, that would hinder or harm the cause of Christ. I pray, Lord, that your people would be encouraged and strengthened. And God, I pray that we'd be more aware of the devil and what is going on. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, not just to start well and run well, but I pray, God, you'd help us to finish well the race that's set before us, fight the good fight of faith. You help me now, and I'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there's been a lot of talk about desire today. Some of the music has pertained to that. And that word desire means the affection directed to attain a possession of an object. The affection directed to the attainment or possession of an object. And just because we got saved does not mean that the devil has given up.
That's right.
Amen. He still desires. Now, he cannot have our soul, but he desires to have our testimony. He desires to keep us from doing a work for the Lord. And if you're here and you're lost, he desires your soul. But there are some things, let me just say by way of introduction, that I see the crafty policy of Satan. It said there in verse 31, he has desired to have you. Now that word crafty, that's a word we don't really used much anymore, but it means cunning and guile and skillful in devising and pursuing a scheme, or wily. And let me say that he is cunning. He doesn't really, you know, I put it like this. He does not show the drunk laying in his own vomit. He makes the drinking look appealing. He does not show the person in the hospital dying with emphysema. He shows a beautiful young lady with a cigarette between her fingers. He makes sin look appealing. He never shows you, amen, the real outcome. But he has a crafty policy, and through scheming and guile, he desires to get to us. Even religious people in Mark 14:1, it said, after 2 days, the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. So I don't think much of religion, amen. Sometimes when you ask people, they'll say, oh, I belong to this church and that church. That's not what I ask. I want to know if you know the Lord, amen. And so it's not a matter of religion. It was the religious crowd that put our Lord to death. I see 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so we are to provide things honest. There ought not be any craft or guile or scheming in the house of God. There's no room for that. He tells in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 in verse number 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is the very day and time that we are living in. Satan himself has disguised himself as an angel of light. And our pulpits and our churches are full of that stuff. Used to our battle was with outside the church. Now our battle is right inside the church. Amen. Well, I'm just saying that we need to be aware that Satan has desired to have you, and just because you've gotten saved does not mean that he is giving up.
Right.
Amen. But then I see a second thing. I see the limited power of Satan.
Hallelujah.
In verse number 32, Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. Do you realize that there's no greater prayer that can be offered on our behalf than the one that is already being offered by the Lord Jesus Christ at the throne of glory? Amen. Let me just say, I know that Satan is the prince and the power of the air, but Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And Satan could, he even told Pilate, you could have no power at all except my Father giveth thee. Amen. So Satan has no power. Hey, he has to ask permission. We see it in the life of Job. Before he can touch any one of us, we are protected by God. He has to have permission to do so. He can only go so far. He said in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. There's nobody that has more power than our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm simply saying that he is in charge. Satan has limited power. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. If our mind can conceive it and ask the Lord for it in belief, if it's according to his will, you can mark her down, friend. We can have it.
Amen.
Well, I'm simply saying he has power. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's kind of like, have you ever sold something on the weekend and the bank wasn't open and you had a bunch of money in your pocket and you walk around all weekend counting it because you're worried about losing it? You count it like 20 times, you know? And then you go to the bank on Monday morning and you deposit it in your account. And as soon as you deposit it in your account, you don't worry about it anymore because you're not the one keeping it anymore. The bank's keeping it. Hey, when I got saved, I'm not trusting Steve Goolsby to get me to heaven. I put it on deposit in heaven, and it's not up to me. It's up to him. Amen. Well, he has the power over life. Only he can raise the dead. By the way, that didn't take his life. He laid his life down. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up again. He has the power over life. He has the power over death. Hey, you and I, you know, I told some of the men tonight in the prayer room, I'm so worried about this corona stuff, I had to take a whole half a baby aspirin to calm down. You know, we say as Christians that we believe God is in control. Well, if you really believe that, I don't believe anything can happen to me until God gets ready to take me. And I am not worried about this virus. I'm amazed at how easily people gave up their right to go to the house of God. Amen. Let me just say this. Brother John said something about rebellion. I do not believe in rebellion, but I do believe in civil disobedience. We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. And I believe, hey, when they said that about the separation of church and state, that did not mean for the church to stay out of the government. It meant for the government to stay out of the house of God. Amen. Well, I see that went over real good. Jesus has the power over light. Hey, I'm telling you, we have passed from death to light, but we death to life, but we've also passed from darkness to light. Amen. We were in darkness. Amen. Oh, but now are we children of the light. Amen. No longer in darkness. One of my friends took me to one of them non-denominational churches, and took me in the auditorium. Walls are black, ceilings black. Had one whole wall that was plexiglass. I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's where the band sits." You know, I do have a mean streak about that wide. The pastor came in while we were there. He said, "What do you think of our sanctuary?" Well, I just said the first thing that came to my mind. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He did not appreciate that. Amen. He went, "Oh." Hey, we have passed from death to life, from darkness to light. Amen. He has the power. Hey, we walk in the light because he is in the light. Amen. He has the power of love. Hey, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Just read Romans chapter number 8. You know what? There's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He just loves you. Amen. Well, he has the power over defeat. He said in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." They sang it about the blood tonight. I shared with some of the men today at lunch. In Israel, when they came out in the book of Exodus, they put blood on the upper post and blood on the side post. But tradition says they dug a trough in the doorway to keep the water out of their houses. And they slew that lamb in the doorway. So we have blood on the upper post,
for our justification between us and God. When God looks at us, he sees the blood. Amen. We have blood on the sidepost for our separation between us and the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. But then there's blood on the threshold for our damnation. We couldn't go to hell if we wanted to. Between us and hell. Amen. Well, let me say, not only his crafty policy and his limited power, but I see the unqualified persistence of Satan. Verse number 34, it says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny. Hey, just because we win one skirmish doesn't... I wish this battle with the devil was something we could fight one time and it'd be over with. Same thing with our flesh. I wish that the battle with the flesh... You know who I have more trouble out of than anybody else? My wife. Y'all know that ain't true. Amen. I have more trouble out of the dude I shave every morning than I do anybody else. I'm trying to be good, Brother David, and stay in one place. It's really hard for me. But, there are days that I do really good. And then there are other days when I am traveling on the freeway. I can see right now that some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I don't do good in the flesh when I'm traveling. Amen. I wish it was something that we could fight, but what I'm getting at is just because we win one battle, you know, he came to the Lord, and the Lord used the Word of God on him. Amen. Three times he said, and Satan left him for a season. But he did not give up. And the same thing is true with us. He departed for a season, amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But he's not going to stay gone. He's going to come back. So, with that in mind, what does Satan desire? I see, first of all, tonight that he desires to hinder you from walking in the Spirit. He desires to hinder you from walking in the Spirit. He said in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If the Apostle Paul, who I believe was the greatest Christian outside the Lord, if he had trouble with his flesh, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I beat my body into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. If he had trouble with his flesh, you're not going to convince me that you don't have trouble with your flesh. So he wants to hinder us from walking in the Spirit. Now, why does he want to do that? He wants to hinder our progress. He don't want us to make any progress in the Christian life. I would say that just about all of us in here, I know people that have been saved for 50 years, but they have never grown from the place that they got in at. They are saved, but that is all they are. Let me just say this. I was saved a long time before I ever became a Christian. By that, I mean if I had died, I would went to heaven, but I was far from being Christ-like. And that's what that word Christian means. So, you know, I already said we're not to be children tossed through and to and fro, carried about by every every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to see. But it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him and all things which is the head, even Christ. I saw a bunch of little babies around here. And they're beautiful. I love kids. Amen. It's a shame they have to grow into teenagers. They do real good until they get to be about 14 and then they go brain dead. But if that baby does not grow, we are going to take it to the doctor to find out what's wrong with it. And yet, we have a house full of them. I'm amazed. One of the largest growing denominations in the world is the Mormons. Excuse me. They get most of their converts from the Baptist church. There is something wrong with that picture. It's because we do not know the Word of God. So he wants to hinder our progress. He wants to keep us from growing in grace and in knowledge. Well, not only does he want to hinder our progress, he wants to alter your purpose. I can remember what it was like not to have purpose. I was listening to an interview one time of a sports star, and he's talking about how many championship rings he had won and how he was at the pinnacle of his sport. And the guy said, well, what do you plan to do from here? He said, my life is without meaning. He said, I've achieved everything that I set out to do, and there is nothing left for me. Hey, I'm glad as a Christian that our purpose is always greater than what we are, amen, and we're never going to fulfill it until we get out of here and go home to be with the Lord. He said, "Who has in 2 Timothy 1:10, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. So he wants to alter our purpose. Paul said it like this in Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then he gives his life sentence. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, he wants to hinder our progress. He wants to alter our purpose. He wants to remove our passion. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're living in wicked days. I'm talking about you can't go anywhere. You can't even drive down the road without facing something anymore. Do you understand? And if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking, what's the use? Amen. But I'm telling you, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to remove our passion. Years ago, I was traveling out west on my way to a meeting. We were sightseeing. We took some time off and were sightseeing on the way out. We stopped someplace. I had my family with me. When I got out of the vehicle, there was a guy came walking up. He had 5 spikes on top of his head, all of them about that tall, every one of them a different color. I had never seen anything like that. So when he came walking up there, I said, hey, man. I said, can I take your picture? His face looked like he'd fell in a tackle box, man. There was stuff hanging out everywhere. I took that guy's picture, and by that time, his girlfriend with her purple hair had come up. Wasn't as prevalent then as it is now. And so we struck up a conversation. He said, you talk funny. Where are you from? But anyway, we carried on for a few minutes, and then he said, "What are you doing out here?" I knew he wouldn't know what an evangelist was. I said, "Well, I'm a traveling preacher." And I named the town where I was going about 300 miles from where I was at. And when I did, he started crying. He said, "Preacher, you ain't going to believe this." He said, "But that's where I live." He said, "And I've been asking God to show me if he was real." And so I gave him my number and my phone number. Sunday morning, here he come walking in the church. Everybody in church. I said, "Hey!" Came every night of the meeting. Thursday night, he got saved. I'm telling you, if you're truly seeking after him. But I said all that to say this. God altered my perspective to look at people like he sees people. Used to, I wouldn't even talk to them kind of people. But they are more receptive than a lot of people that look like us. Do you understand? And when we learn to see people, and I'll just be honest about it, Brother Nathan. When it comes to them people over there, I'm for splitting a few atoms. You know what happens when you split a few atoms? You get a little thing called the atomic bomb. Amen. And what he said is right. Because of what they've done and persecution and that kind of thing. But even in that, I met a guy that was from over there. And he is now, he got saved here in America. And now he's a missionary. He's an Iraqi. He's a missionary to go back over there to them people. And through God letting me meet him, amen, he began to change my perspective. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, I'm talking about having a passion for lost souls. Well, he told in the book of Revelation, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Why? "Because thou hast left thy first love." You remember how it was when you first got saved? All I wanted to do was read the Bible and go to church. I didn't want to go to work. I just wanted to read the Bible and go to church. All right. He desires to hinder you from walking in the Spirit. He desires to whip you spiritually. Verse number 32. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Not only does he want to hinder us from walking in the Spirit, but he wants to whip you spiritually. Hey, I've never seen a day and time when Christian people are so defeated and depressed and discouraged. We are not victims, we are victors. Amen. Amen. Hey, we have already won. I've read the last chapter in the book. Hey, in the end, God wins. Amen. Now, our strength is in our foundation. Here's what he said in 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So he wants to whip you spiritually. And the way he does that, I tell you, we want to see, I don't have the corona, all right? We're living in a day and time when so-called Christian people want to see how close they can get to sin. I'll give you a good illustration. Brother Artie, I am afraid of snakes. I hate five kinds: live ones, dead ones, short ones, long ones, and fake ones. I hate them all. They tell me if you get close enough, if it's got a diamond head, that it's poisonous. Or you can tell by the pattern on their back. There's just one problem with that. I'm not getting that close. The object is not to see how close I can get to that. I have learned how to handle snakes with a shotgun. Amen. I'm not going to see how close I can get to that snake. I'm going to see how far I can stay away from it. That ought to be the way it is with us and sin and a Christian. We ought not try to walk the line. We ought to see how far we can stay away from it.
Amen.
Well, if you're building on any other foundation than Jesus Christ, I'm afraid when we get to heaven, I'm afraid I'm going to have a big pile of wood, hay, and stubble. And when the fire's put to it, I'm going to have a handful of gold, silver, and precious stone. Our strength is our foundation. Our steadfastness is in our faith. He said this in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, I tell you how he whips us spiritually. Not only is our faith not steadfast, but our focus is not on our Savior. Our focus is not on our Savior. It's been said several times today, and I do believe you ought to vote. I believe you ought to vote Republican. I personally do not believe you can be saved and be a Democrat. Amen. Voted God off their platform. Amen. They're pro-murder or abortion, if that's what you want to call it. They are pro-homosexuality or sodomy. Everything that our Bible is for, they are against. If Nancy Pelosi is a Christian, I'm the Pope. Amen. She's a wicked devil. That's what she is. Amen. They are trying to destroy our country. I wasn't going to say anything about politics, but I'm just telling you. Amen. Vote Republican. Amen. But we, in the end, we are not looking to Washington, D.C. to solve our problem. We are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't but one thing going to fix this mess. And I tell you, for those of us who are saved, we're going to be rejoicing because it's looking good. The worse it looks down here, the better it looks for us to get out of here. And I'm telling you right now, we are set for a one world religion, a one world economy, a one world government. Amen. And there is a man that's going to come on the scene that takes care of all the economic problems. He's called the Antichrist. And before that can happen, we're out of here. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. That's when we start getting faint, when we get our focus off of the Lord. Well, I see a third thing tonight. I'm talking about what Satan desires. He desires to wear out the saints of God. Verse number 33, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. He tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Like I said, he desires to wear out the saints of God. He does that through depression.
You say, well, preacher, I ain't ever been depressed. Yeah, you lie about other things too. Huh? There ain't a preacher in here that ain't got up on Monday morning and said, I'm quitting. Amen. It gets bad. I'm just being honest about it. Hey, I'm telling you, I had an accident. I was laying on my couch for 4 months. I'll tell you right now, things got bad. I got depressed. Amen. Somebody asked me, said, why do you go to church so much? I said, it takes a lot of preaching to keep me right. Amen. This matter of wearing us out, wearing the saints of God out. He does it through depression. He does it through defeat. Amen. Discouragement. Hey, I'm telling you, he's doing everything that he can. Doubt. Have you ever seen a day and time? By the way, let me just give you this about doubt. Satan brings doubt. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Amen. He addresses, I'm talking about he desires to wear out the saints of God. He addresses the corruption of the heart. What was Peter's problem? Peter's problem was self-assurance and pride. I'm glad God put Peter in the Bible because I'm a lot like him. I am constantly sticking my foot in my mouth. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? Through his example, it encourages us because we realize, I mean, here's somebody that walked with the Lord. And if Peter can do this kind of stuff, hey, I'm saying his pride, you know, the Bible said pride go before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. His impulsiveness. Hey, Peter was always, at one point he told him, said, not me, Lord. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was the same man, but he was letting the devil use him. Amen. His impulsiveness. His indignation. Not me, Lord. Have you ever heard somebody make this statement? That could never happen to me. You better be real careful. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. I'm telling you, all of us are subject, given the right circumstances and the right opportunity. If you've not walked a mile in somebody else's shoes, you're better off keep your mouth shut. Amen. Well, he addresses the corruption of the heart. People say this to me, especially young people. Well, if I know my heart, you don't. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You don't know your heart. Hey, you may think she's the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen, but you need to realize beauty is only skin deep. Ugly is all the way to the bone. Amen. I tell young people all the time, you better pray about who you're going to marry because it has the same outcome as salvation. Salvation determines where you're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell, and marriage is the same thing. It's either heaven or it's hell. Y'all are laughing, but I'm telling you, that's a serious thing. Second most important decision you'll ever make in your life is who you marry. All right. David said in Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said in Psalms 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Smartest man that ever lived, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Hey, Ananias and Sapphira sold that property. Ananias came in and he told Peter, said, yeah, I sold it for this much and here it is. And Peter said this, Ananias, why hath
Satan, fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you one more. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in what? Departing from the living God. I'm saying he attacks us through the corruption of our own heart. So he's wearing out the saints of God. He addresses the corruption of the heart. He takes advantage of our circumstances. He takes advantage of our circumstances. Years ago, my mom and dad, my dad was in evangelism. In fact, he was living here. And he went into evangelism, moved to Alabama. But a preacher called him and said, "Brother Bill, I'm going to resign this church, and I think God wants you to come here." Said, my dad told him he'd had a cancellation. He said, "I'll come preach for you, but I'm not interested." Dad went down there and preached for him. They called him back just a few weeks later, said, "They want you to come back." He went back. He said when he walked in the building, said he knew God was going to put him there. They took that church. 3 weeks after they took that church, they found a tumor in my mother's head bigger than a lemon. At that time, Memphis, Tennessee was one of only three places in the world that did that surgery. They took my mom to Memphis, Tennessee. She was in surgery for 12 hours with 6 different doctors. Finally, they let my dad go back to see her, and my mom motioned for him. He got down over the bed, and my mother said this to him. She said, "Bill, if you don't fast and pray, I'm not going to make it." We were staying at a motel across the street, and there was a tunnel that went onto the road. When Daddy left that room, said he was walking back over there to the motel room, and in that tunnel, said the devil said to him, "If God really loved you, he wouldn't let this be happening to you. You've served him all your life, and look at where you're at." Said he went in that motel room and got down there beside the bed. He said, and I started praying. He said, I don't know how long I was there. He said, but at some point, he said, I felt the presence of God. And God said, I know where you're at, and everything's going to be all right. That's been over 37 years ago. My mama's still living. God's still on the throne. Amen. I'm telling you, that's when the devil will come to you, when you're at your weakest and lowest point. Hey, he don't attack us when we are everything's all right. He comes when we're at our weakest point. He said this in 2 Corinthians 2:10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. And then he said this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The book of Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Hey, let me say this. Your weakness may not be my weakness. But the devil knows what your weakness is, just like he knows what mine is. And he's not going to attack us where our strength is. He's going to attack us where our weakness is. Amen. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places.
I was in a preacher's meeting. There was a lot of preachers there older than I am. And a guy got up and he made this statement from the pulpit. He said, Jesus Christ could have sinned. And I was waiting for one of the older preachers to say something. And nobody said nothing. So I said, really loud, that's heresy. Who knew no sin, nor did no sin. And I got up and walked out. Amen. Hey, I'm saying we need to realize our fight is even right here. Hey, you don't have to worry about getting on fire for God. There'll be some old wet blanket around trying to put it out. Huh? I got right with God and the Lord started blessing. Man, I was having a time. And a preacher came up to me, a preacher now, he came up to me, patted me on the back. He said, you'll get over it. You're just full of zeal. Well, it's been about 30 years and I ain't got over it yet. Amen. I'm talking about how he wears out the saints of God. He addresses the corruption of the heart. He takes advantage of our circumstances. He allures us with comely pleasure. If sin looked bad, none of us would fool with it. But he makes it look beautiful. You understand? Hey, that's how he gains. That's how he wears out the saints of God. Well, I'll just try this one time. One time is all it takes. Amen. I guess I'm going to go there anyway. That's why I don't believe in this dating mess. Huh? I believe you're petting. I believe you ought to keep your hands to yourself. No ring on the finger. No hands on the body. Keep your low-down hands to yourself. You can't control your flesh. You give it an inch, it'll take a mile. Amen. I know it ain't popular preaching, but it's right. Amen. It is good. The Bible still says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Keep your low-down hands to yourself. Amen. I was telling Brother Danforth, I had a young man come to the house to meet me, and he came in the door. I threw him a bullet. He said, what's that for? I said, the next one will be coming faster. Abby said, Dad, you scared him. I said, good. That's part of the fun of having girls is tormenting boys. Amen. In fact, I've got a whole list. I asked one, I said, there's 400 acres behind this house. I said, I have a gun, a shovel, and no problem. Do you understand? The one that really got him, I put my arm around this boy. I said, son, I've been to jail. I don't have no problem going back. He allures us. He makes sin look good. But then he assaults us continually. Hey, like I said, he is never going to give up. He assaults us continually. Not only that, but he accuses us constantly. You understand? Hey, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. If you loved the Lord, you wouldn't have done that. All of us have had these conversations where he accused us of not being a good Christian. You know, I got a boy that I've had trouble out of, and I'll just be honest about it. The devil has used that on me. I'm talking about what kind of Christian are you? What did you teach your kids? And a preacher really helped me with that one day. He said, well, he said, God had two children named Adam and Eve, and they were in a perfect environment, and they messed up.
Adam and Eve had two sons. One of them killed the other. They were raised, amen, in a perfect environment. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Hey, I'm saying he will accuse us. He will use, hey, he will remind us of our past. He'll beat you to death with your past. Hey, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Well, let me give you one last one. I'm talking about what Satan desires. He desires to wrestle souls into hell. Verse number 34, he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You know, it's a funny thing to me. They call us uneducated and foolish and stupid. But my Bible said in Psalms 14:1, the fool hath said in their heart, there is no God. Do you understand? It's a foolish thing. Somebody mentioned physics tonight. I worked with a guy that had three or four PhD. One of them was in physics. And he was constantly tormenting me because I was a Christian. So he came over there one day and said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I'm tired of you asking me questions. I said, let me ask you one. I said, you got a degree in physics, don't you? He said, I do. I said, what holds an atom together? You know, according to the laws of physics, an atom ought to fly all to pieces. He said, I can't explain that, and neither can you. I said, I can.
Yes, sir.
I said, he holds all things together by the word of his power. I said, one of these days he's going to speak the word, and I said, this world is going to melt away with fervent heat. Amen. That's what happens when he's going to let all them atoms go. Poof. You understand what I'm telling you? They are the ones that are foolish, but he desires to wrestle souls into hell. He said in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? I asked that same guy that had all them PhDs, I said, think about this. I said, if you're right and I'm wrong and there is no God, I have lost nothing. I said, but what if I'm right and you're wrong? I said, you've lost everything, including the fact that you're going to spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. I said, the devil has got you believing a lie. And I said, he's going to damn you forever in the lake of fire. Hey, Satan has desires. Do you understand? Just like our desire, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Hey, I got news for you. That ought to be the desire of our heart. But just because we desire to serve God and live for God does not mean that the devil is going to give up on us. He's going to try to get your ministry. Amen. He's going to try to get your marriage. Amen. I'm saying that we need to be aware of the devil. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Master, I do pray that you would help us, Lord, to seek you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And I do pray for protection, Lord, for each and every one of us. Lord, I thought about how many preachers I know that have gotten out of the ministry. I thought about how many people, places that I preach that people that have been there 20 and 30 years are no longer in the house of God.
Lord, I do pray that you would help us, Lord, not to have Satan fulfill his desire when it comes to us. You have your will and your way now in Jesus' name. Amen.